Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Luke 7:35, the Word of God says, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." Wisdom is justified of all her children. In verse 33 of the same chapter, we read, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he hath a devil. And the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibbler, a friend of publicans and sinners." What an accusation to make against the Lord. But wisdom is justified of her children, all of them. What does this mean, that wisdom is justified of all her children? See, one of the things about wisdom is that wisdom will never be found in the law. It will never be found in a box. Wisdom will be found in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the case of John the Baptist, a very austere life was wisdom. In the case of the Savior, a life whereby he would actually mingle with those who were wretched and vile by the world's standards was wisdom. And though he did not sin, he was a friend to the sinners. And this was wisdom. But the world didn't recognize this. The religious crowd, it was interesting, the religious crowd recognized neither John the Baptist, and they did not recognize the Savior. And when they heard John the Baptist, they would not listen to him. When they heard the Savior, they reviled him. And this was the religious crowd. So whether it was the God-man or a prophet, they couldn't handle it. Because they didn't know what it was to have wisdom. Wisdom is not found in the law. The strength of sin is found in the law. In 1 Corinthians 15:56. Wisdom cannot be found from rules or do's and don'ts. Wisdom is found when the Holy Spirit teaches me how to apply the Word of God in specifics for individual situations. Wisdom is what Matthew 4:4 is talking about. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every divine inspired revelation that God imparts to the heart for the circumstance that you're in with your specific makeup, history, and life. Wisdom is sovereignty. Wisdom is justified of all her children. Justified is the key word there. It's edikaiothi. Bring out, this is what it means, bring out that which a person is or that which is desired. But not usually referring to the mode in which the action takes place. And this is incredibly important that it has two effects. It brings out of a person what it desires, and it also brings to a person what it desires. But it cannot have a prescribed mode. In other words, there is no canned wisdom. Wisdom will do exactly what it intends to do. It'll have the effect that it intends to have. And the effect proves the wisdom that it is. In the case of John, the effect and the proof were in the fact that he did not come eating or drinking. In the case of the Savior is that he did come in that way. And so wisdom is justified of her children. In Ecclesiastes 2:14, if I have wisdom, it becomes the foundation of my thinking. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. Now, this is an amazing passage. The wise man's eyes are in his head. This is saying that the man who possesses wisdom, his perception and the foundation of his thinking, which is that perception, is going to be the wisdom that he possesses. So, if a man has a certain wisdom, then that man, the foundation of his perception, the perceptions that he has, the basis of that will be the wisdom that he possesses, and it will therefore take over his thinking. And so the wise man's eyes are in his head. Now, we have to be careful about this one thing. What does it mean by the wise man? Because the Bible tells us there are two types of wisdom. In James chapter 3 and verse 14, the Word of God says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. If I lie against the truth, if I have envyings and strife, then this is not wisdom from above. This is wisdom that is of the world, or of my emotions, or of demons. It is not wisdom from above. So when you find situation where there are attackings, where there are murmurings, where there is strife, where there are envyings, when you find situations where there is confusion, where you find situations where there is every evil work. What is every evil work? Work that is initiated by a throne. It's a throne of iniquity. Iniquity is when the emotions are the motivating factor apart from the Word of God. That's iniquity. Emotional rebellion against God and His Word. So the work that it's talking about there is a work of the emotions apart from God's Word regulating those emotions. This is wisdom from below. This is not wisdom from above. Very frequently it involves natural thinking. Very frequently it involves natural preferences. It's a self-oriented sort of a wisdom. I don't like when people do this. It's a very proud type of a thing. This is, however, one type of wisdom. The other type of wisdom is wisdom from above. And that is first pure and then peaceable. And it's gentle and easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So here we have two wisdoms. One that is pure. In other words, a wisdom that is not motivated in itself and a person who possesses it, but it's a wisdom that is motivated by the love of God and by the Word of God. It's a wisdom that is peaceable. In other words, it's a wisdom that's not seeking strife or division, but it's seeking reconciliation. It's seeking, how do I love my neighbor? It's seeking, how do I respond to God? And it is gentle and easy to be entreated. It's very merciful, this wisdom. And it's filled with the fruits of the Spirit. It doesn't respect one person in one way and another person in another way. And it doesn't claim itself to be something it is not. Now, here's the thing. In my thinking, the wise man's eyes are in his head. If I have the wisdom from above, then wisdom from above is the foundation of all my perception, and that perception then determines my thinking. If I have wisdom from below, it's the foundation of my perception, and that this perception is then what determines my thinking. You see, sometimes people can have wisdom from below and they do not know what's wrong. They can be very negative, very reactionary, but they feel entirely justified. They can go off the handle and accuse people, and they feel entirely justified and say, well, it's just me being me, and what would you expect me to do? And this is the way it is. The problem is you. Wisdom from below. The perception that they have is the wrong perception, because the foundation that they have for that perception is the wrong foundation. The foundation that is like that is invariably a self-conscious foundation. It's a foundation that says, how do I like it? What do I think about it? How does it make me feel? And it doesn't even take the time to think about it. It just, this is the feeling, we go with it. It's a wisdom from below. And if this is the foundation of my perception, and this is where my thoughts are coming from, then I will not know what it is to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. If this is my thinking, then the fruit that I have is the fruit of the flesh. I have strife. I have envying. I have wanting. I have a sense of needing. I am not fulfilled. Well, the reason why I am not fulfilled is because I have no wisdom from above. Wisdom from above is a wisdom that is first pure and then peaceable. In other words, it's a wisdom that thinks no evil. It's a wisdom that lives in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are lovely and pure, these are the types of things you think on. It's a wisdom that thinks with the heart of God. You see, this is a thing that cannot be counterfeited. If I think with the heart of God, it's not that I'm trying to force myself to think in a certain way. It's that the heart of God is the foundation of my perception. And because it is the foundation of my perception, all of my thinking will therefore be based on that perception. If the heart of God is the foundation of my perception, then though I may see a person fail, my thinking towards them will not be anger or hostility or reaction. My thinking towards them will be mercy, reconciliation, and finished work. And this is the wisdom from above. The wisdom from below tears down a soul. The wisdom from above builds the soul up. My wisdom has to be from the right source. Because the wise man's eyes, no matter what that wisdom is, the man who possesses one type of wisdom or the other, the wise man's eyes are in his head. And he can't change that. What he can alter is the wisdom, but not the fact that his eyes are in his head. As a believer, I had better learn to take the Word of God seriously. As a believer, I had better learn to take His Word seriously. His Word is not subject to my emotions or my convenience or my moods. I am subject to His Word. If I don't take the Word of God seriously, I will have no wisdom from above. What do I mean by take the Word of God seriously? I don't mean just read or listen. I mean, when I read and when I listen, I must mix faith with what I hear. Because if I do not, it profits me absolutely nothing. You can hear the greatest sermon from the greatest preacher, and it is possible that it will profit you nothing. How do I know this? Because when the greatest sermon, which was arguably the Sermon on the Mount, was preached by the greatest preacher, who was the Savior Himself, there were some people that it profited nothing. Why? They didn't mix faith with what they heard. If I don't mix faith with what I hear, I cannot have wisdom from above. If I don't mix faith with the promises of God, I will not have wisdom from above. If I cannot live in faith, then I cannot have wisdom from above. If I can't simply trust God just because He said it, then I cannot have wisdom from above. If I rely on my sight, then I will live in wisdom from below. If I rely on my natural understanding, then I will live in wisdom from below. Earthly wisdom is based on natural understanding. But if I am someone who has yielded to the promises of God, if I am someone who loves the Word of God more than his own thinking, if I am someone who's learned how to depend on the Holy Spirit more than my ability to analyze, then I'm someone who can live in wisdom from above. But apart from that, it's not going to happen. In 2 Timothy 3:15, the Scriptures are what makes me wise. Only the Scriptures are capable of making someone wise. In Matthew 7:24, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, says the Savior, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In other words, when I have wisdom from above, I have a foundation that is immovable. Only with wisdom from above can I withstand in the attacks and the difficult circumstances, in the trials of my faith. The trials of my faith, I can only come through them with wisdom from above. It is absolutely impossible to be victorious in the trials of my faith if I depend on wisdom from below. Why? Because it's a trial of faith. It's not a trial of natural reasoning or understanding. It's not a trial in which sight has any place. It is a trial of faith. Only wisdom from above is that which can make the trial more precious than gold. Be careful what you use as your wisdom. Because if your wisdom comes from a source other than God, other than His application of His Word in your life through the Holy Spirit, then you have no wisdom from above. What will happen? Then I think, with the perception that I have, established on an entirely wrong foundation. But if I can trust God for who He is, if I can trust the heart of God, if I can trust His Word and His promises, if I can trust His attitude and His character towards me, then that trust will become my wisdom. And when I can trust Him in that way, the foundation of my perception is who God is and what He has said. And my thoughts will automatically become who God is and what He has said thoughts. Why is it so difficult for so many young people to wait on God regarding relationships? Wisdom from below. Wisdom from above. Trust the Savior that if they seek Him first, all other things are added unto them. All other things. Wisdom from above knows how to handle the promises. Wisdom from above knows how to make the promises alive in my life. Wisdom from above knows how to rest and rely on the character of God, knowing that He will be faithful. And He will do exactly as He said. Wisdom from below says, sight. My sight is this, and my sight is that. And it even dares to evaluate God and His Word and His promises and His character on the foundation of that sight. Wisdom from below is audacious. The audacity. Isn't that amazing? The audacity to evaluate God's character on the basis of my sight. The audacity to evaluate God's heart and God's Word and God's promises on the basis of my sight. That's audacious. In Proverbs 28:7, whoso keepeth the law, the Torah, the word, is a wise son. I hold it, I keep it, I hold it in my bosom. I hold it, I hug it. That's what it's a picture of, I hug it. He is a wise son. When I have the wisdom from above, it produces a certain fruit in me. See, wisdom is justified of all her children. And so the children of wisdom. What are wisdom's children? Who are they? Wisdom's children are the fruit of wisdom. It is that which wisdom has reproduced in my life. In Ecclesiastes 12:11, here are some of wisdom's children. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. The words of the wise are as goads. Wise words resonating in my heart. Wise words resonating. Says, it's the voice of the teacher behind me saying, this is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Wise words. I start to consider something and my pastor has taught me, and I start to consider something and I hear his voice saying, no! You don't do it that way. You trust God for what you're doing. No! Goads in my heart because of the wise words that I have stored and I kept in my heart. Wise words in my heart. I see someone and they are struggling. And instead of judging or being critical, I am compassionate because I heard my pastor teach me God loves you in the worst of your circumstances. God loves you in the midst of your failure. Oh, the wise, the godly man, the good man, though he may fall 7 times, he gets up again. Have a spirit of reconciliation toward those who are weak and fallen. And I hear the words that I have heard from the masters of the assembly, and they are goads to me. I make a mistake and my pastor's words come back. It says, your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, and though your sins are as scarlet, yet you are as driven snow. And God forgives you and you confess your sins and He completely restores you. And these are the thoughts that I meditate on in my failure. Goads from the masters of assembly. Words that show me the way. Words that are a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Words from above with the wisdom that has been taught me through the Holy Spirit's leading. In Ecclesiastes 10:2, another of wisdom's children, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. What does this mean? The heart of a wise man becomes his strength, but the one who lacks God's wisdom, his heart becomes his weakness. And so the wise heart is my strength. The heart that has the words of the Savior running through in the mind that is thinking the thoughts of God as the Holy Spirit is encouraging the heart. And now my heart is my strength. But if I have wisdom from below, if there is envyings and strife and bitterness and negativity in my heart, then my own heart has become my weakness, because my perception and the foundation, my frame of reference is all wrong. In Ecclesiastes 8:5, another of wisdom's children, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. If I have the word hidden in my heart, then no evil thing will touch me. Now, I did not say that no evil thing will come. I just said it can't touch me. Because the only thing that can touch me is that which I allow in. But if I have God's wisdom in my heart, no evil thing can touch me. Why? Because I have the promises of God. And though I may even recognize the evil when it is there, it is not a burden to me. It is not fear to me or anxiety. It is not something that even gives me pause, because I have wisdom from above ruling in my heart. And so I stand still and know that He is the salvation that is mine. So I stand in the place where I will receive from Him and where He will act for me and on my behalf. I don't get anxious, I don't go running, I don't turn right or left. I just stand and I know that in truth this is the only thing that I can do is stand. He protects me and no evil thing can touch me. I have never seen a believer, if they are willing to stand, even if they panic while they are standing, or if they have complete peace while they are standing, I have never seen a believer who is willing to stand who evil has prevailed against. God always deals with the evil. The only difference is, what was my experience, one of panic or trust? Either way, God will deal with the evil. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. What does this mean? It means John 16:13, the Spirit of truth guides me in all truth. And I don't have to worry about when or how or what, because I know how to think. And if I know how to think, then I already have those answers. If I know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, then the time that I am looking for is the time that He says. And the action that I am looking for is the action that He imparts to me. You know why so many people are confused as to what to do? Sometimes you hear of people, they want to know from the pastor, what do I do, pastor? And if somebody needs counseling, that's perfectly legitimate. But by the same token, if the person has been receiving from the Word of God for quite some time, they don't need to ask, what do I do? Because the question is not, what do I do? The question is, what do I think? How do I think? What is the truth? What are the right thoughts? And I don't even need to ask the question, because the thoughts are already present. And if I know how to think, I will know what to do. If I have wisdom, I will know when to do it. And so if I have wisdom, I know both the time and the judgment. Those are wisdom's children. Who is a wise man? James 3:13. And endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of the good conversation of his works with meekness and wisdom. What is that talking about? A lifestyle of fruits. A good conversation, a good lifestyle that is the fruit of the Spirit with meekness and wisdom. When I have the fruit of the Spirit, and my life is a life that is right before God, I have wisdom's children. I don't have to try to justify the wisdom. The children justify the wisdom. I don't justify why I have peace that passes understanding. Peace that passes understanding is a justification unto itself. It's a justification unto the things that have given me that peace. It's a justification of the Word that has been applied by the Spirit in my heart. And people may say, you're crazy, you don't really know what's going on if you can have peace in this circumstance. But I'm telling you something. If you don't have peace, you've missed the boat. If you don't have peace, then you're not rightly related to His Word. And you can get His Word all you like, but if you don't have peace, you're not rightly related. How do I know this? Because great peace have they that love Thy Word. Not just a little bit, but great peace have they that love Thy Word. Well, I don't have peace. You don't understand. These are my circumstances, and this is where I am, and this is what I am facing. Really? And have your circumstances and where you are and what you are facing now eclipsed the promises of God in your life that you have no peace? Has God's faithfulness diminished in your eyes that you have no peace? Has faith abandoned you that you have no peace in the view of what you are going through? Are the giants in the land really that big? Is God really that small that you have no peace? You see, these are the fruits, the children of wisdom. If I have wisdom, then I am not seeking the wisdom of the world, in 1 Corinthians 3:18. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. The world has a wisdom. It is wisdom from below. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, in 1 Corinthians 1:20. There is no real wisdom of the world. Now, the world thinks there is a wisdom, but it's not wisdom. It's simply a means of attaining self-gratification through a self-oriented motivation. And so how do I get what I want? And this is what the world considers wisdom, knowing how to get what you want. But I'm not interested so much in how do I get what I want. I'm interested in how do I get to know my Savior. Who is He? And what has He done for me? What is His plan for my life? And this is foolishness to the world. You are young. Why are you pursuing things like Bible college? Why don't you pursue a career and get married? You know why? Because the pursuits that you would have for me will take me away from the only source of wisdom there is. That which you would have me pursue will take me away from my Savior and not closer to Him. I'd rather find my Savior and let Him take care of me. Oh, but you can't even see Him. How do you know He's real? Don't you realize that the fool says in his heart, there is no God? In Psalm 14, verse 1, and in Psalm 56, verse 1. Oh, He's real. As a matter of fact, He's more real than you are, unbeliever. No, if I have wisdom, then I'll be a fool for the Savior. Because that's real wisdom. Ecclesiastes 10:12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. See, the next portion of that verse is interesting. But the lips of the fool will swallow up himself. Gracious toward whom? Gracious toward myself as well as others. You see, a fool is gracious toward no one. A wise man knows how to be gracious towards himself as well as others. It's the children of wisdom. Who is the wise man? Ecclesiastes 8:1 asks. who is the wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. If I have wisdom, I'm very bold. I'm not afraid of things when I have wisdom. Why? Because I know who is with me and who my source is. I know my Savior is very faithful, and He will not allow anything to come against me that could harm me. So I can be very bold. I remember my friend Lloyd. He was soul winning. And he walked into a crack house. And I love when Lloyd Solins, he just takes charge. He doesn't care who he's talking to, he just takes charge. He walks into a crack house, all these drug dealers and women who were not properly attired. And he says, "Now listen to me." And he gives him the gospel. And one guy got mad at him. He cocked back his arm to punch Lloyd. And then he couldn't move his arm. And he was stuck with his arm pulled back, ready to punch, but he couldn't bring it forward. And he said to him, "If I could move my arm, I would hit you. But I can't move it right now." See, there is no reason to not have boldness. God will not allow anything to come against me. Same person one time, walking in the inner city, soul winning in the bad neighborhoods of Baltimore. There was a gang fight. About 20 teenagers with chains and knives and things. He walks into the middle of this fight. He wasn't afraid. How many Christians would be afraid to walk into the middle of a gang fight? Lloyd walks into the middle of this gang fight. In 5 minutes he has 20 gang members holding hands praying for salvation. He was bold because he knew wisdom. See, if I'm wise, I have boldness. It may seem like a crazy thing to the world, but it wasn't crazy at all. It was wisdom. See, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What the world calls foolish is in truth what is of great wisdom. And what the world calls weak is in truth very powerful. But then again, the world's wisdom is foolishness to God. Finally, in Ecclesiastes 7:19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. See, wisdom is better strength than natural ability. And even if you have 10 times the natural ability of what one man should be able, it still is nothing compared to wisdom. If I learn how to think in wisdom, then I've learned how to think. And if I learn how to think, then in all that I do, the fruit will be the justification. And it may look one way to one person or another way to another. It really doesn't make a hill of beans a difference, because the children of wisdom justify the wisdom that they originated from. And it will bear its fruit.